Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 43 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
You need to, for lack of a better word, stop denying the fact it could be your district or your community.
Kentucky lawmakers announced a joint House and Senate Education Committee yesterday, which will meet to address school violence.
The flu season is taking a toll on Kentucky in a number of ways.
A new bill would raise the minimum age requirement for marriage in Kentucky.
In sports, Moorhead State's baseball team opens their season in North Carolina as we speak.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 31. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
People have died due to the flu last week as Kentucky sees another rise in patients showing flu-related symptoms. According to WKYT, there were over 1,000 new cases reported from February 4th to the 10th, which is a significant increase from the 660 cases reported the week before. The Kentucky Cabinet of Health and Family Services reports that the weekly death tolls is the highest reported, beating the previous record set last month of 21 deaths. As for the flu season as a whole, Kentucky has seen more than 6,000 cases reported and has reached a total death toll of 132.
Lewis County school officials say the district is closed today and for the beginning of next week due to a recent flu outbreak. WSAZ reports declining attendance has prompted Lewis County to take non-traditional instruction days on the 16th, 19th, and 20th. Students will be required to fill out homework packets for each day. Superintendent Jamie Weddington says teachers and staff will be available to help students remotely. He says staff members will also be disinfecting facilities for when students return on Wednesday, the 21st. The district asks that parents not send their children to school if they are vomiting, experiencing diarrhea, or have been running a fever.
With more than 6,000 cases of the flu reported in Kentucky, some businesses are also taking a toll. According to WKYT, 111 million workdays are expected to be missed across the country by over 25 million people because of the flu this season. Brian Simmons, Senior Human Resources Director with CMI Consulting, says these missed workdays impact company morale.
It can impact teamwork and the communication aspect. So it goes beyond just those direct costs. As far as maintaining the productivity, that will be difficult.
Simmons says CMI is working on a training program to help businesses better prepare for illness in the workplace. The training will include things like looking at time and attendance policies, as well as Family Medical Leave Act compliance. But for now, they advise companies to focus on common sense cleanliness to avoid spreading infection.
Governor Matt Bevin says he's heartbroken over a school shooting in Florida weeks after a similar shooting at a high school here in the Commonwealth. The governor told talk radio hosts his heart is broken for the Florida community that has been shattered in a similar way as Marshall County in January. He said guns are not the reason for an increase in school shootings, but blamed a culture that delegitimized life through violent video games, TV shows, and music lyrics. Yesterday, lawmakers announced joint House and Senate Education Committee meetings to address school violence. Representative Bam Carney said Kentucky schools that don't take advantage of state safety programs need to start.
If there are any districts that are not participating in those, I know the state police will come in and do walkthroughs and do things like that in your districts, then you need to, for lack of a better word, stop denying the fact it could be your district or your community. And make sure you do everything you can to be, one, preventative, and second, have the proper actions in place if it ever were to occur.
Lexington Democratic Senator Reggie Thomas tweeted that it's time to replace thoughts and prayers with real action and promised to announce a plan to curtail gun violence today.
Gage Smock, one of the survivors from the Marshall County High School shooting, is out of the hospital and recovering. Currently, Smock's mouth is still wired shut after being shot in the face during the incident. Even though he isn't back in class, he is working.
It feels good to get back out and be with everybody, see my friends and close friends and workers again.
Smock says his advice for the families dealing with the effects of the recent Florida shooting is to hold on to each other.
Governor Matt Bevin has called for $12 million to be in the budget for the next biennium to fund improvements for the Kentucky State Police, but law enforcement leaders say that might not be enough. Bevin recognized the need for cars and rifles during his State of the Commonwealth, but those funds did not make it into the governor's final proposal. Justice and Public Safety Cabinet Secretary John Tilley tells Spectrum News the radio system used must be replaced as well.
We do have money for cars and guns. Let me be clear. We're not trying to outfit them with the latest and greatest, although we are. They're using now Vietnam-era war rifles that are on loan from the military. So we're just asking to get to the professional agency that we need to be again.
KSP Commissioner Rick Sanders also told lawmakers the force needed 262 additional troopers to effectively protect the state.
Kentucky is facing massive budget cuts to education. The Department of Education says some districts won't be able to pay their bills by the end of the year. Some counties in the region have hit major setbacks with declining population and coal severance taxes. Floyd County Schools Finance Director Matt Wireman says schools are losing over $2 million from year to year due to the decline in taxes.
We're already doing all those things, and we're struggling now.
Wireman says the district is supposed to receive $2.7 million from the state for transportation, but they're only getting $1.7 million. With Governor Matt Bevin's proposed cuts, the district would only receive $600,000 from the state. Wireman says their goal is to keep class sizes small.
Morehead State University is preparing for decreased funding and an increase in pension costs for the 2017-18 year. In spite of a grim financial outlook, the university is protecting jobs for its student workers through the Earn to Learn program. MSU President Jay Morgan says it is important for MSU to remain student-centered.
It is a proven fact that when you employ students on campus, when students are housed on campus, in your residential halls, your retention and graduation rates go up. So we're really taking the money that all of you had in your units that were tagged for student dollars, and in some cases, adding money to that in order to hire more students.
Morgan says that Morehead will not be able to rely on student employment as much as Berea College, but he knows they are an important part of Morehead State's workforce.
A bill introduced in committee yesterday would set a new minimum age requirement for marriage in the Commonwealth. Senate Bill 48, sponsored by Louisville Republican Julie Adams, would ensure no one under the age of 17 could get married. Currently, Kentucky law allows 16- and 17-year-olds to wed with parental consent. Minors below that age can get married if one of them is pregnant. Senator Alice Kerr says it's time to update the law.
I'm frankly embarrassed that Kentucky doesn't have a law where we can't marry until we're 18 years old. I think what we have on the books right now plays into every stereotype, every negative stereotype that's out there about Kentucky.
According to the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, nearly 11,000 teenagers have married in Kentucky since 2000. And we'll be right back with more Mountain Edition right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Tobacco farmers were in Frankfurt this week to oppose a proposed cigarette tax. The tax would impose a $1 per pack increase, but opponents claim this is more burden than benefit. They say it harms the lowest income Kentuckians who do smoke and also hurts local farms' profit margins. Nicholas Heidenreich has owned a tobacco store for 14 years and says the proposed tax increase would devastate his business.
Almost every single one of our customers are out of state, coming from all the way up in Bloomington, Indiana to the middle of Illinois. If this tax increase passed, we'd have to shut the doors. We employ 21 employees, and we'd have to put them all out on the road. It'll be tough for us.
Opponents also say the tax may be counterproductive, citing failure to meet revenue margins in states where the tax is in effect.
With Kentucky's Supreme Court set to weigh in on the discrimination case against Lexington t-shirt maker Hands On Originals, gay rights advocates are preparing a ruling that could force communities to rethink how fairness ordinances are enforced. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The state high court must decide whether Hands-On violated Lexington's anti-discrimination ordinance by refusing to print a shirt for a gay pride festival over religious objections. Monday, Governor Matt Bevin's general counsel filed a friend of the court brief in favor of Hands-On. The governor had this to say Tuesday.
I think they certainly have every right in the world to have an expectation of their First Amendment rights being supported, and I think that's the case that they're making, is that while we support the First Amendment rights of some, they shouldn't come at the expense of our own.
But Fairness Campaign Director Chris Hartman is stressing that a ruling backing the T-shirt maker would not nullify fairness ordinances.
I will not be surprised if the courts uphold that right to free speech, but again, does not in any way say that cities and states and the country cannot have LGBTQ discrimination protections.
Instead, Hartman says it may clarify how those protections are interpreted and applied, leaving room for business owners to decline to sell products they object to while continuing to require that they serve customers regardless of their sexual orientation. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Construction began last weekend on the Eastern Kentucky Dream Center with renovations to part of Giovanni's Pizza in downtown Pikeville. According to WKYT, the Dream Center provides home-cooked meals and resources to those suffering from addiction and poverty. The facility was created to give people an opportunity to get back on their feet. The pastor of Trinity Harvest Church says this is a dream come true.
Well, our church has had a heartbeat for some time to try and make a difference in the lives of hurting people in our communities. To know that this one short life that we have is used to genuinely make a difference, to make an impact, help somebody else.
If you would like to volunteer or donate financially to the Dream Center, call 606-437-2600.
And finally in news, a Louisa man is looking to retire after cashing in his $1 million lottery ticket. WKYT reports the Mega Millions winner, who wishes to remain anonymous, won the prize at a convenience store on Wednesday. His ticket had every winning number except for the Mega Ball. He received a check for $700,000 after taxes. The Courier-Journal reports that the chances of winning the Mega Millions jackpot are roughly 1 in 292 million. And on our feature segment today, commentator John Modaf wonders about the reasons student... Before we hear from John, first let's take a look at your weather.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for tonight into this weekend, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Tomorrow, scattered flurries before 11 a.m., then rain, high near 39, chance of precipitation is 100%. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 7 p.m., cloudy with a low around 35. Sunday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 53. And Sunday night, showers likely, mainly after 3 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 46. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 44 degrees in Ashland and in Inez, 43 degrees here in Moorhead and in Winchester, and it is 42 degrees in Flemingsburg.
And thanks to Logan Pemberton for our weather here on Mountain Edition. The time is 4:43. And on our feature segment today, commentator John Modaf wonders about the reason students may filter themselves in class discussions.
Carter was just finishing up his presidency when some of us got started teaching. Through Reagan, Bush the First, Clinton, Bush the Second, Obama, and now Trump, we taught and we teach. We've seen and heard how students catch the scent of what their professors feel about a president, and how their own comments can be influenced by this. That is one of two common filters that students might put on themselves in discussions in classes. How does the teacher like the incumbent? The other filter concerns not just the president, but debate itself. In the late 70s and into the early 80s, debate may not have been healthy, but at least it had one good lung left and people could debate issues without hating on one another most of the time. The debate filter was turned on over certain topics, but debate itself was not up for debate. I first noticed a ripple of a new attitude toward debate itself a while ago when a student reacted in a class to a mild argument over some rhetorical point, as if a fight needed to be broken up. The student did not react at all to the issues at hand, but rather to the disagreement itself. To have passion, it seemed, and to express that in the give and take of argumentation, that is disciplined but lively, had now become upsetting. Actually, That was 5 years ago. It was upsetting. Now lively debate is associated with violence and oppression. So these two filters change how discussions proceed in classes today. When mentioning the current president, students seem absolutely certain that they can say any degrading thing with or without basis and hear no objection from the front of the room. Mr. Trump's knack for saying just the right, most polite thing at all times has made him a handy exemplar in speech classes across the land. But now, a full year into his presidency, some students who speak of the president in less disparaging ways have also begun to talk up. Mr. Trump, it seems, says something once in a while that is not ridiculous to them. Still, they speak in anything less than critical ways with some trepidation, testing the air for flammable vapors of hate. They speak like one walks on loose gravel. They're ready to be pushed. So far, both views of the presidency seem safe, spoken in mature classroom company, but the Trump filter is still on. The other filter is more concerning, the one that's about debate itself. The filter that screens or subverts debate is a simple one. Debate and argumentation have been equated with violence, and violence with hate. To refute, to resist, to damn what is damnable, as Socrates did, as X did, as Anthony did, to dare to speak against the status quo, to stand up for what was or what ought to be, this has now become confused with truly hateful speech. We must know the difference between speech we do not like and incitement to violent overthrow of the government, and even if that distinction is fuzzy, to send debate itself to detention because some people misuse it is itself a foolish thing to do. Let's keep striving to let students speak on all sides of every matter, for and against this or that leader as they come and go, and never once let on that our view, if we have one, ought to be a concern of theirs. Let them exercise debate and not confuse in front of them the difficult and the violent.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition here on WMKY. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this quick message.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
The Eagles are back. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Morehead State baseball team got the 2018 season started just about an hour ago in South Carolina against UMass Lowell. Currently in the game, the Eagles are tied 0-0 in the top of the third. Junior outfielder Nico Holsizer was selected to the USA Baseball Golden Spikes Award preseason watch list. The award honors the nation's top amateur player. Coach Mike McGuire says having Holsizer in the program has been big for MSU.
I'm really excited for him and excited for, you know, what he does for our team. But also, you know, he's brought a lot of national media attention, notoriety to our program, which is always a big plus. So we're very fortunate to have him. He deserves a lot of credit for the player he's become, and excited to, you know, write his name in the lineup for another year.
The Baseball Eagles are in action again tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. to battle Ball State, and again at 2 for another matchup with UMass Lowell. The Morehead State softball team had game action earlier today when they beat Bucknell 1-0 and Northern Kentucky 9-4. The now 5-1 Eagles have two more games this weekend in the Fairfield Inn and Suites Invitational in North Carolina. MSU coach David Williams says this weekend will be a great test for his team.
Playing James Madison, who's ranked in the top 25 in the country. So that's going to be a really, really good challenge for us. That's a good game for us to see where we stack up. And then we close out the weekend with Campbell, and Campbell's always a solid team. So we split with them last year, and, you know, they're always going to put a good product on the field.
The 6-20 Morehead State basketball Eagles lost again last night in Nashville to Tennessee State University, 83-74. Despite some good play from standouts like Jaimon Henson, who had 7 field goals and 6 threes for the Eagles, they couldn't seem to pull ahead of TSU. Coach Preston Spradlin says that despite the patchy season so far, the Eagles still don't give up.
It's nice. That's a number we've been missing all year. And so Jaiman hitting six of them tonight is obviously big. And that's Londell going 3 of 3 was nice. AJ hitting some down the stretch. But I tell you, that's a product of the guys thinking that they still have an opportunity to win and fighting all the way to the final buzzer.
The Eagles pick play back up tomorrow night at 8 when they tip off with Belmont in Tennessee. The 19-9 Morehead State women's basketball Eagles travel to play the number one team in the OVC this weekend when they face off with Belmont tomorrow evening at 4 in Nashville. Coach Greg Todd said after the Eagles' 71-69 victory over Tennessee State yesterday that the Eagles are going to give the Bruins a run for their money.
Yes, much better to prepare, have some hours off of a win, but definitely they're a special team in our league, and I just feel like we got to go in very gritty and tough, and hope to give them a very competitive game.
Belmont is 25-3 on the year. The Eagles are the number 4 spot in the OVC. The Kentucky basketball team will try to snap its 4-game losing streak when it welcomes Alabama into Rupp Arena tomorrow at 2. The Cats have already lost 2 home games this season, both by 2 points to Florida and Tennessee. And head coach John Calipari says it won't be easy for the team to stop its current skid.
They're good. They're a good team. They got some young guys playing well. They got their veterans playing well. They're physical and athletic. They got length. They're a good team. They've beaten good people. They've beaten ranked teams. Beat Auburn.
Both Kentucky and Alabama are 17-9 on the year. However, Bama is 8-5 in league play, while Kentucky is 6-7. The University of Louisville basketball team has a tall task on hand as the Cardinals welcome 14th-ranked North Carolina into the Yum Center tomorrow night at 8:15. Louisville interim coach David Padgett says his team has to continue to play through their big guys, Ray Spalding and Anonis Mahmoud.
We knew we had size with starting Anas and Ray, so you know we tried to make it a point of playing inside to out. When we get the ball inside, whether it's against zone or man or whatever kind of defense it is, that's when we're usually at our best. And our guards know that if they throw it in there to Anas and Ray, they're not black holes. The ball's not going to go in there and not come back out. They'll pass it back out.
Tomorrow starts a tough stretch for the 18-8 Cardinals, who finished the season with Duke, Virginia Tech, and a road trip to top-ranked Virginia. Kentucky could be landing a spot for a new NBA team. Former Kentucky basketball All-American Dan Issel has been named the president of the Louisville Basketball Investment and Support Group, LLC, and will lead the latest efforts to lure an NBA expansion team to the city. Issel says they have several investors already locked in donating money to bring a team to the Bluegrass State. The NBA is expected to add 2 new teams to the league, with Seattle, Vancouver, Las Vegas, and Louisville rumored to be the favorites to land the expansion teams. And lastly in sports, the Round County boys basketball team finished up the regular season last night with a 64-58 victory over Fairview. The Vikings now shift their focus to next week's 61st District Tournament in Fleming County. Rowan coach Sean Thacker says even though his team is the 4th seed and will battle the Panthers in the first round of the tournament, the field is wide open.
You know, it doesn't matter whether you're the 1 seed or the 4 seed. Any of the 4 teams could win this district. If we played this district tournament 10 times, you know, we all would win it a couple of times probably. So, you know, it's going to be a fun tournament. It'll be 3 probably really, really close games. It'll be very similar to last year's semifinals and finals of the region, I think.
Meanwhile, the Rowan County girls finish up the regular season tonight at Cooper Gym against the 16th region's top team, Boyd County. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will close out their regular season home schedule, hosting UT Martin on February 22nd and Eastern Kentucky on February 24th. You can get tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. Stocks were in a volatile session all day and actually fell from their highs of the day after news broke that special counsel Robert Mueller indicted 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian entities for allegedly interfering with the 2016 U.S. presidential election. And the market stabilized and was slightly higher after the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein emphasized in a press conference that these indictments had no allegations of willing support to the Russians by Americans. And at the close, the Dow did manage a small gain of 19.01, finishing at 25,219.38. The S&P 500 was up 1.02 at 2732.22, and the NASDAQ composite was actually down 16.97, but had a good week, with the NASDAQ finishing at 7239.46. The major indices, as mentioned, all had strong weekly gains, with all three of the major indices up more than 4%, and the S&P 500 and NASDAQ were on track for their best week since 2011. In corporate news, Coca-Cola reported better-than-expected earnings, and the shares were up 0.6%. Coke said its best-performing drinks were water and sports drinks, and Wendy's shares jumped more than 4% after analysts at Guggenheim upgraded them to a buy from neutral, noting their valuation is more attractive after their recent pullback. And an interesting statistic, during the previous 10 sessions, the S&P 500 posted 8 moves greater than 1%, and it, for context, the broad index posted only 8 1% moves in all of 2017, as volatility is certainly rearing its head here early in 2018. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $61.62 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,351.20 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 1%. In Asia, stocks were strong as well, with the Nikkei up 1.2% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and GE, while your worst performers were Caterpillar and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Chipotle and Nucor, and the worst performers were VF and Vulcan Materials. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 89 cents at 72 and a quarter, Marathon Petroleum up 12 cents at 67.92, AEP up 58 cents at 67.26, CSX up 54 cents at 56.10, AK Steel up 72 cents at 5.96, and Anthem was up 2.99, finishing at $235.05 a share. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking one more look at your weather forecast for this weekend into next week. Tomorrow, scattered flurries before 11 a.m., then rain. High near 39 with a chance of precipitation at 100%. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 7 p.m., cloudy with a low around 35. Sunday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 53. Sunday night, showers likely, mainly after 3 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 46, chance of precipitation is 70%. For your President's Day, showers likely, mainly before 7 a.m., cloudy with a high near 69, chance of precipitation is 60%. And for Monday night, a 20% chance of showers before 4 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Looking at the current temperatures, it is 44 degrees in Ashland and Inez, 43 degrees here in Moorhead and in Winchester, and 42 degrees in Flemingsburg.
Looking at some community events, the Claypool Young Art Gallery at Moorhead State University presents the 2018 Sophomore Art and Design Exhibition through February 21st. The show is an opportunity for MSU Department of Art and Design students to exhibit their artwork in a professional setting at the midpoint of their college career. The exhibit is free and open to the public. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Arlo Barnett, Brian Courtney, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler and Tilden Johnson, Josh James with WUKY, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our commentary was from MSU's Professor John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Ellen Barnett for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.